Lao Tzu left the palace and he made it up into the mountains. And the mountain guard at the gate said to him, "You can't leave us without leaving some kind of a record of your teachings." Lao Tzu left him a 5,000-word treatise, which is now known as the Tao Te Ching. Welcome to Jazz Therapy, where we explore the intersectionality of jazz, the psyche and psychoanalytic thought, spirituality, and consciousness. We have in-depth conversations with people from various walks of life, all of whom view their work as a service to humanity. Then we listen to jazz and discuss our thoughts, feelings, and reflections, which arise from hearing this incredible art form. I'm your host, Jesse Shapiro. This show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you or someone you know is feeling suicidal or in an emotional crisis, you can call or text the SAMHSA Crisis Line, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Association, through the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Simply call or dial 988 24/7, 365 days a year. Mastery is not to control, but to allow the Tao to flow freely through you. Leland Lewis, Random Molecular Mirroring. Everything that happens, happens at the only possible time it can happen, and it is always at exactly the right time. We cannot get to an appointment before we arrive or after. It is only at the instant of our arrival that we can arrive, and that is always at exactly the right moment, the perfect moment, the only possible moment. Wu Wei, I Ching Wisdom, More Guidance from the Book of Answers, Volume 2. And finally, to attract people naturally, effortlessly, we need only follow the true prompting of our hearts. Wu Wei, I Ching Wisdom, More Guidance from the Book of Answers, Volume 2. Well, everyone, welcome to Jazz Therapy. I'm Jesse. And if you've been listening to this podcast, you know that I'm a quote lover. So I really like to start off every show with some quotes to kind of set the tone for what we are going to be focusing on today. And I really was inspired by the Tao Te Ching, the text, the sacred text of Taoism, which I will talk about, and specifically the Taoist principle of Wu Wei, which roughly translated means not forcing. And I wanted to do a podcast about this because this is a spiritual teaching that I in particular am working on right now in my life, personally, professionally, just really all across the board, because I really have a tendency to push and badger and try to kind of force things to happen. I really would have been a good lobbyist, you guys. Some of this is vestiges of, you know, my childhood conditioning and sort of coming from a place of anxiety that I wouldn't get my needs met unless I really pushed or forced or made things happen. And I also sense that this tendency I have is probably also a samskara or tendency from the past life, a past lives of like pushing and just trying to force. And so this is a really important teaching and one that I'm still working on and I thought would be really nice to talk about. And I think Wu Wei, the concept of not forcing, is inherent and embodies the spirit of jazz. And jazz musicians know this, that there has to be a flow for great music and great art to happen. I heard Alan Watts, the philosopher, talk about how when we see a performance by an artist, a dancer, a jazz musician, etc., the performance, he said, does not ring true if it's forced, and that the audience can really feel that. And that really resonated with me. So we're going to talk about a little bit about the history of Taoism, Wu Wei, how maybe that manifests in my life and then your life. I'll invite you to reflect. And then we're going to listen to the music of Christian McBride, who has a birthday anniversary, and he's still alive, and he's just an incredible artist and all around Renaissance man. And then finally, I'm going to lead us in a little meditation that embodies the spirit of Wu Wei that will help me and hopefully help you be able to let go and relinquish control of something you might be trying to control and just help us to be in better harmony with the flow of the Tao. First, I'm going to read a little bit about Wu Wei, this concept of do nothing. And this is from the School of Life. I'm going to read this quote. Wu Wei means, in Chinese, not doing or doing nothing. It sounds like a pleasant invitation to relax, or worse, fall into laziness or apathy. Yet this concept is key to the noblest kind of action according to the philosophy of Taoism, and is at the heart of what it means to follow the Tao or the Way. According to the central text of Taoism, the Tao Te Ching, quote, the way never acts, yet nothing is left undone. This is the paradox of Wu Wei. It doesn't mean not acting, it means effortless action or actionless action. It means being at peace while engaged in the most frenetic tasks so that one can carry these out with maximum skill and efficiency. Something of the meaning of Wu Wei is captured when we talk about, quote, being in the zone, end quote, at one with what we are doing in a state of profound concentration and flow. So that is such an incredible concept and a beautiful explanation of Wu Wei. And I wanted to just talk a little bit about Taoism and the origins of Taoism. And you know, I really got to do a deeper dive into understanding the origins of it this week. I had read from the Tao Te Ching, and I do throw the I Ching, which is kind of like a Chinese oracle for helping one make decisions. Yet this week was really special because I got to really go even deeper and learn about the history of Taoism and its founder, Lao Tzu. What I learned was Lao Tzu was a contemporary of Confucius. He was a bit older than Confucius. And he was part of the court of the ruling dynasty at the time when he lived. And he was sort of like a astrologer, kind of a wise man who people would seek counsel from. And I did hear in a lecture that I listened to that at one point, Lao Tzu, in a conversation with Confucius, rebuked Confucius for being too ambitious and trying to bring too much reform to the world, which would be against the principles of Taoism in the sense that if he was sort of trying to superimpose order or force the change rather than kind of allowing the natural evolution of things to take shape. So Lao Tzu was older and evidently he was ready to kind of retire, and he had grown tired of just kind of court life and what it means to sort of live in a palace and all of that. And he wanted to retire to the mountains, just kind of live a more contemplative, quiet life. So legend has it, from the lecture I listened to, this was by Alan Watts, and I also listened to another one as well, that Lao Tzu left the palace and he made it up into the mountains. And the mountain guard at the gate said to him, basically like, holy sage, you can't leave us without leaving some kind of a record of your teachings. And Lao Tzu didn't have a following. He wasn't kind of seen as a guru, like where people followed him. However, he was really respected because he embodied the spirit of the Tao, what in Taoism would be called the perfect man. In other traditions, we would call this a bodhisattva, an enlightened figure. He really embodied this. And so Lao Tzu left him a 5,000 word treatise, which is now known as the Tao Te Ching. And so thankfully, because of this mountain guard who implored Lao Tzu to leave something of his teachings behind, we have the legacy of the Tao Te Ching and the concept of Wu Wei. And Taoism, I also learned, has been hugely influential in terms of its impact on political leaders, as Lao Tzu was writing to them. However, he was also writing to the average person and really was kind of getting across in the Tao Te Ching that everybody could achieve enlightenment. He didn't use these words, but everybody could become a perfect man, which was, again, the way that he conceptualized one that was completely in union with the Tao. So, however, this did have far-reaching implications, and he did want political leaders to absorb this concept so that they, as rulers, could be making decisions and yet be in harmony with all that is. So we can just soak that in. So this is a very deep, beautiful, ancient tradition, a blessing from the East. So I want to read a little bit more about the concept of Wu Wei, because it's so beautiful. And again, it's one that I'm really trying to absorb and embody. So here's a quote again from the School of Life. "We are to be like the bamboo that bends in the wind, or the plant that adjusts itself to the shape of a tree. Wu Wei involves letting go of ideals that we may otherwise try to force too violently onto things. It invites us instead to respond to the true demands of situations, which tend only to be noticed when we put our own ego-driven plans aside. What can follow is a loss of self-consciousness, a new unity between the self and its environment, which releases an energy that is normally held back by an overly aggressive, willful style of thinking." End quote. Okay, I can totally relate to this as someone who can really be super pushy and feel like I need to just kind of make things happen. I'm going to read another quote here from the School of Life. "The Tao Te Ching points out that we should be like water, which is submissive and weak, yet which can't be surpassed for attacking what is hard and strong. Through gentle persistence and a compliance with the specific shape of a problem, an obstacle can be worked round and gradually eroded." So I really like that. So this is not a doctrine of passivity. It is really waiting to be in harmony so that when we do take action, it is timed right. And then that begets the question, because I had this question, how do we know when is the time to take right action? And this reminds me of a quote from Ram Dass in his book, Grist for the Mill. And I don't think I can read that quote on the air because of copyright laws. However, Ram Dass says something like, to sort of know the will of God, we'll call it the Tao, we have to be very quiet and go inside and listen to what in stillness our higher self or our inner truth is telling us, so that we know to take action that is in harmony with all that is. I also heard Alan Watts, who gives fabulous lectures on Taoism and Wu Wei, and they are on YouTube. So you can just Google on for Alan Watts Wu Wei, or on YouTube, just Alan Watts Taoism. And he said, "Wu Wei is the art of sailing rather than rowing." And he goes on to talk about how with rowing, we're exerting a lot of energy. Sometimes we have to fight the currents. And Wu Wei is like really flowing with the winds and where you're going to go. He says, "Don't force it, always go with the stream." And, you know, this is kind of like if one ever gets caught in a riptide, the advice is to swim parallel to the shore, not to fight the current, but to just swim parallel to the shore, and eventually you will get out of that. There's an appropriate time to use force. However, it is rightly timed action. I wanted to talk a little bit or just reflect on ways that I personally have sort of flowed against the Tao, and ways that I have been able to flow with the Tao, and because there's such a noticeable difference. And as you're listening along with me, I just invite you to kind of reflect on ways in your life where this concept might come up. Like, where do you force things, and where are you really able to step back and allow yourself to soften and kind of be in accordance and harmony with all that is? Well, one example that comes to mind about me sort of pushing against the grain of the Tao, I definitely do this with my loved ones. And recently, I was having a conversation with my dad, who I just love dearly, and he listens to these podcasts and he always gives me very helpful feedback. And he's 87. And I was talking to him about meditation and he was sort of saying that meditation didn't really work for him. He's really a stoic and he really enjoys the writings of Marcus Aurelius, who was a very wise man. And I kept pushing my dad, telling him he needed to try meditation. And I pushed and pushed and it really soured the conversation. We were at dinner. And so dad, I know as you're listening to this, I'm sorry that I pushed. I could see that that really took us out of alignment or flow with the Tao. And pushing and badgering normally has the opposite effect. It makes someone kind of want to go the opposite direction of what one is suggesting. So that was an example where I really struck out. And so I did apologize and I'm apologizing again, dad. Another one that comes to mind is just even the recording of this podcast. This week, I'm off my schedule just due to a variety of factors. COVID went through my household. One of my children is out of school. The other one isn't. Just some other things kind of going along. And I really wanted the podcast to be recorded earlier this week so it would come out on Thursdays. I had been releasing every podcast on Thursday and I had to really finally surrender this week that I was not going to be able to record the podcast in time to get it out on Thursday. And when I finally gave myself permission to acknowledge that it wasn't going to be able to happen, and then I let my incredible editor, Patricio, know, and my social media manager, Sage, they were just like, okay, cool. Like, we'll work with that. And I felt such a sense of relief versus like how I would have pushed before just kind of to make it happen. And it probably would not have been a very good podcast episode because somehow I think the energy of pushing would have come across. So I guess that's more an example of how I didn't push when in the past I have pushed. If you'd like to know more, you can visit my website at www.jazztherapy.com. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in the states of California and New York. You can also check out my profile page on Psychology Today, which I'll leave linked below. Another example that's coming to mind right now, and you guys, these are kind of silly examples, however, not silly, but they're very mundane. They're very ordinary. And I think that's really how we start to get in flow with the divine. One of my kids was on a wait list for a summer camp, and I really wanted to get them into this summer camp. And so I emailed and they were like, okay, the camp's full. We can put you on the wait list. Now, I feel like before I would have probably been pushy and like followed up with them a couple times and probably annoyed them about it. However, this time I just sort of said a little prayer like, okay, God and universe, if this is your will, if we get into the summer camp, great. If not, okay. So then some time goes by and I get an email later that says, oh, they have a slot. And so I got a spot in this summer camp. And it felt so much better to just kind of allow this to unfold rather than trying to kind of muscle it and then having also that karmic residue of like pushing and forcing. So that's good. That makes me feel like I can continue to do this and soothe my anxiety along the way and sort of these old tendencies to push and force. And finally, the last example that comes to mind was I recently met someone and I had a really lovely deep soul connection with them. And I think it is really going to result in some work that will be beneficial, not just to me, but to the other person and also to humanity. And it was something that just kind of came about. It was almost as though it really fell out of the sky, like a true synchronicity. And I just feel so grateful for this. I don't think I've ever had something like this happen, to be quite honest. And that to me is a sign of being in greater alignment and harmony with the Tao, with all that is. And so these are just kind of experiences that encourage me to continue to go along and to really quiet myself and listen to myself as to when is the right time to take action and when is not. And also letting things just unfold. So as you're listening to this, I'm just curious about what reflections you might have of ways that you might push or control or force, and then other ways, successes that you've had of just allowing things to happen and flow. So leave me a comment on one of the platforms about what your experiences are with not flowing with the Tao or flowing with the Tao, and what you notice about that. Because I really learn from you. I learn from everyone. I learn from my clients as a psychotherapist. I learn from my family, from nature. I learn from everything. So let us turn now to listen to some jazz, because jazz really embodies the spirit of Wu Wei, of not forcing. Now it's time to listen to some jazz. Due to copyright laws, we cannot play the music on air at this time. I respect copyright laws and the incredible artists who created the jazz we listen to, as without them, we would have no jazz. I will leave links to the songs we listen to so you can pause and listen to the songs along with us. It is my dream to someday grow this podcast to the point where I can eventually host it on a major streaming platform which owns the right to play music, so we can all have the communal experience of listening together. Until then, please bear with me. So I'm going to read a couple quotes to sort of help us transition. Do your best and then relax. Let things go on in a natural way rather than force. And this is a quote by Yogananda. Change is like a river. Nothing is the same, even for an instant. Everything is continually moving, like the six stages of change, about to come into being, beginning, expanding, approaching maximum potential, peaking, and finally passing its peak and flowing into its new condition. And we have the best chance of communicating our thoughts if we are sincere and speak from the heart without hidden intent. The latter two are from Wu Wei, I Ching Wisdom, More Guidance from the Book of Answers. And this is kind of tying it back to the concept of Ram Dass, who really was saying we can be in alignment with the Tao or God's will. That would be the Christian term for it. When we really quiet ourselves and we can hear from our heart or from our inner voice as to what really is best. So now we are going to transition to some jazz, and I am really excited about today's featured artist, Christian McBride, who is just an incredible American bassist. He is a 7-time Grammy winner. I'm going to read a little bit about him. And he's also a music director of several jazz festivals. He is a host of a couple of radio programs. He's a mentor, a teacher, a musician, and just really an all-around Renaissance man. And I got to see him perform at Yoshi's, the famous jazz club in Oakland, and he was really just phenomenal. And I also really loved to listen to his program, Jazz Night in America, when I would be leaving my psychoanalytic psychotherapy training program at the San Francisco Center for Psychoanalysis. And it was always so soothing to hear him as I was leaving San Francisco, driving back to Berkeley. Okay, so I'm just going to read a little bit about Christian McBride, and this is from his website, you guys, which is super awesome. It's so beautiful. It's www.christianmcbride.com. Christian McBride has blazed an extraordinary trail as one of the most preeminent musicians of his time. Over the last 3 decades, the 7-time Grammy winner and Newport Jazz Festival artistic director has made momentous advances as a dynamic musician and recording artist, a prolific composer, arranger, producer, a distinguished curator of culture, and a dedicated educator and mentor. A proliferate band leader, McBride's ensembles are each distinctive extensions of his tremendous threshold of creative inspiration, which span and synthesize straight-ahead, experimental, free-leaning jazz, funk, soul, Latin, hip-hop, and rhythm and blues. His celebrated groups, Inside Straight, the Christian McBride Big Band, the Christian McBride Trio, Christian McBride's New Jam, and a Christian McBride Situation, have not only enjoyed consistent high praise and critical acclaim, they have also emphasized his role as an early presenter of rising stars like pianist Christian Sands, vibraphonist Warren Wolf, and drummer Ulysses Owens Jr. So he is, as mentioned, the artistic director of the Newport Jazz Festival, which is probably one of the most famous in the country. He is also the host of NPR's public radio program, Jazz Night in America, and he has a show called The Lowdown Conversation with Christian on Sirius XM. So I bet that would be really cool to check out as well. And just finally, before we go on to the music, there's also a beautiful quote on his website that really embodies the spirit of what I want to do for this program. He said, "My career is no longer for the benefit of just me." The website goes on to talk about how he has really developed a passion for mentorship, a sense of serving his community, and how he really wants to create genuine musical camaraderieship and the seeking and implementation of wisdom and what it looks like to pay it all forward. So just really an awesome person all around. So we're going to hear three pieces of music today by Christian McBride. So if you're listening along with us, go ahead and after I introduce the piece, pause and either listen to it on YouTube or you can also listen to it on the Spotify playlist that I will create. So the first song that we are going to hear is called Only Trust Your Heart. And this is from Diana Krall's album released in 1995. And it is titularly the same, Only Trust Your Heart. And she's featured here with a number of incredible musicians. And Christian McBride is on this track, Only Trust Your Heart. And this song, even the title, I chose it without having heard it. It really embodies what we're talking about today. How do we know when to act? It's when we really quiet ourselves and listen to our voice inside. Then we can know that we're in right action. We're not forcing. We're going along with Wu Wei. We're just allowing things to happen. We just heard Only Trust Your Heart by Diana Krall with Christian McBride. Oh, wow. That was so beautiful, you guys. That was absolutely beautiful. I just had some reveries of someone I love very much. And just this feeling of letting go of fear, of really being seen, of really being known. Because it is scary to really be intimate with someone and open your heart to them. Just how good it feels to be in that space. This was an absolutely beautiful reminder from Diana Krall and Christian McBride. I would put this song in the category of emotional reverie and emotional tone setting because it's a beautiful reminder just to come back to what we know is true, to drop any pretense, drop any ego, drop any fears we have, and just be open-hearted and loving. So as you listen to this song, I'm curious about what came up for you. Just give yourself some time to think and reflect. And this is the therapy part of jazz therapy, is the music, how we can use this incredible art form of jazz to know ourselves more deeply. All right, so let us move to piece number two. And actually, there are sort of two pieces for piece number two. We are going to hear from Christian McBride's album, The Moment Revisited. And this was originally recorded in 2013. However, Christian McBride redid the album and it was re-released in 2020. And this is from Wikipedia. Quote, "This album is dedicated to African American history and presents sonic portraits of such Black civil rights icons as Rosa Parks, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King Jr., Muhammad Ali, and Barack Obama, narrated by the voices of Sonia Sanchez, Vondi Curtis Hall, Dion Graham, and Wendell Pierce." McBride explained, "When I was a kid, I used to spend hours looking at old copies of Ebony and Jet magazines that my grandmother saved, to read contemporaneous writings by Black writers about events and people who were my history, our history. That was absolutely fascinating to me. It was the greatest gift my grandmother could have given to me." So this was his inspiration for creating this album, which is really incredible. And I want us to listen to the prologue, Brother Malcolm prologue, and then the piece, Brother Malcolm, which is about Malcolm X. You might wonder, what does Malcolm X have to do with the flow of the Tao and Taoism and just being in harmony with all that is? Well, he was an incredible agent of change and civil rights leader. And he really went through some major transformation in his life when he converted to Islam and he went on his pilgrimage to Mecca. And I'm going to read this quote. This is from the website www.13.org about Malcolm X. He completely changed his mind about religion, race relations, and violence on that journey. This is his pilgrimage to Mecca. Continuing the quote now. He converted to Islam and abandoned his belief in violence and separation. Instead, he began to hope for a true brotherhood of all races. And I wanted to highlight Malcolm X because this is an example of sometimes if we feel like we need to make a change, we can absolutely do that. And we can get back in harmony with the Tao. And the pilgrimage that Malcolm X went on to Mecca really did change his life and his ideals. And he came back a changed person and was really able to be an incredible leader and advocate and be more in flow with the Tao, with harmony of all that is. And I also just want to say that Malcolm X was a very important figure because he was also able to bring voice to all of the anger and the pain and the hurt that Black people had to endure and were carrying around. And this was very different than the message that Dr. Martin Luther King was carrying around. He was really working from a place of nonviolence. And that was very, absolutely incredible and in flow with the Tao as well. However, Malcolm X, by being able to talk about the pain and the anger and the hurt that Black people have had to endure since the history, the inception of this country, since they were chattel slaves, he legitimized these feelings that needed to come to light to be healed, such as the anger and the pain and the hurt. And that is also in flow with the Tao because we need to bring what needs to be healed to light. So he was not only a leader, he was really also and had his change of heart, which is a good lesson to us that whenever we're off track, we can always just get back in flow with the Tao. He really allowed Black people in America to be able to express their hurt at the trauma and the pain of the way that they have been treated. And so that's just really incredible. So we're going to listen to the prologue for Brother Malcolm, and then we're going to listen to the piece by Brother Malcolm. So pause right now, and you can go on YouTube and listen to these pieces. We'll put a link also on the podcast so that you can do this. So we just heard Brother Malcolm prologue and Brother Malcolm from Christian McBride's album, The Moment Revisited. Wow, that was so incredible. I really felt just such a sense of awe and wonder. And I really teared up, especially at the line, Brother Malcolm fought for freedom for us all. That's so true, you guys. He really did. I had goosebumps on my arms just hearing this song. This song reminds me of one of the really, like, I think it is now like an incredible civil rights song, just like We Shall Overcome or Precious Lord, Take My Hand or This Little Light of Mine. Like, it just has such an incredible power and truth in the song. I just felt a sense of intensity. And even thinking about it now, you know, our country, the United States, is in a very deep political divide. Everyone knows it. It's really kind of like spiritual civil war in a way between the two parties. And this really stems from slavery and how our country is still not healed from the deep trauma that was inflicted on Black Americans and also, you know, white people, the oppressors, have endured suffering being the oppressors and just having that in the collective unconscious, all that hate. I'm not saying that white people suffered worse. No, not at all. I'm just saying that that's there. that it's suffering all around. And this is just a beautiful musical representation of how we have had such incredible leaders that can lead us through the darkness, like Malcolm X and all the other figures on this album, and just how the best thing we can do as human beings is to continue to come into alignment with the Tao, to be more loving, to embody Wu Wei of not forcing things. This doesn't mean we don't fight for change. We do, but it's really the energy that we do it with. This is what I'm telling myself. So I find this really deeply inspiring to continue to grow and evolve so I can be an ally and agent of change because of the evolution and the state of my consciousness and what's in my heart. That's my goal. So I would put this song in the category of emotional galvanization and emotional social justice, because there is really kind of a call to action here, and emotional reverie. And as you're listening to this song, what do you notice? What comes up for you? I'm curious about that. Well, let us turn to our final Christian McBride song. This is a new release from Christian McBride and Edgar Meyer's album, But Who's Gonna Play the Melody? And Edgar Meyer is a bassist as well, and his roots are in blues. And I listened to a really great interview that Christian McBride did with Scott Simon on NPR. So I really encourage you guys to check this out. And I'm just going to read a quote from Christian McBride about their collaboration. This album is also really cool and unique, you guys, because these are two bassists, and it's not that often that we hear just two bassists play together. And there are also some tracks on this album where on one song, Christian is playing the piano and Edgar's on bass, and then they swap because both of them can play the piano as well. Okay, so here's a quote from Christian McBride about this album. Edgar and I come from two different places, McBride explains. This is from his website. I come from the jazz and R&B worlds with a little bit of classical, and he comes from the bluegrass and classical worlds with a little bit of jazz. With this album, we're meeting each other in uncharted territory. And evidently, Christian McBride and Edgar Meyer were introduced by Ray Brown, and they eventually came together to perform at Jazz Aspen. And as a result of their collaboration and friendship and just musical simpatico-ness, I think I just made that word up, this album came about. And the song I chose for us from this album is called Green Slime. And you're probably thinking, okay, why did she choose this song out of all of them? Because there's all kinds of really cool songs on here. There's some standards and classics, and then one of Christian's original tracks as well. And I chose the song just because of the irreverent title, Green Slime. Also because, you guys, slime like water embodies the spirit of Wu Wei, of not forcing. If you've ever played with a little kid, you know, that has slime or just had slime in your hand, it just kind of, it goes like you push it. It goes one way. It goes the other way. It just kind of flows like water. It's totally Wu Wei. And also, I like that the title Green Slime helps me to not take myself so seriously when I'm out of accord with the Tao, when I'm not flowing with the Tao, when I'm doing the opposite of Wu Wei. It's like, okay, you know, you could just be like slime again and just chill and get back in flow with everything. So let us hear Green Slime from But Who's Gonna Play the Melody, Christian McBride and Edgar Meyer. All right, so we just heard Green Slime from Christian McBride and Edgar Meyer's new album, But Who's Gonna Play the Melody? You guys, this was so cool, like so effing cool. I definitely could hear some classical bowing in there. I could hear a little bit of that bluegrass vibe. There was just such a like earthy embodied funkiness. That was such a great way he described the album, Christian McBride, in what I read before. There was a playfulness that really embodied the spirit of slime. I just found myself kind of like wanting to move around, snap my fingers. There's also just such a beautiful authenticity here that makes me want to just completely be myself even more. I mean, I really try to, but of course, you know, I get caught up in societal standards of beauty and wanting to look a certain way. And I don't know, just all the ways that we can be shaped. I would put this song in the category of emotional innovation for sure. Emotional tone setting, because it's just got a funky, cool vibe. And what does it bring up for you? Any pictures might come into your mind. Super, super cool. And I hope at some point I get to meet Christian McBride. And his birthday is May 31st. So this is very recent. He just had a birthday. So happy, happy birthday to Christian McBride, all around Renaissance man, and just an incredibly cool, elegant person. Well, finally, to wrap this podcast up, I thought we could just do a little meditation that will help me and hopefully help you too, to maybe release your grip on anything, you, a situation, relational dynamic, anything in your life that you feel like an outcome that you're expecting or wanting or trying to create. We could just do a meditation to help us embody the principle of wu-wei, not forcing, and just let that go. Turn it over to the Tao in the universe. So I want you to just get comfortable. If you're walking or driving, you can just skip this part or come back to it when you're not moving. Well, we are going to go now to our meditation of helping us to release any situation we might be trying to control, or an outcome we're trying to force, or whatever it is, to really help us embody the learning that I'm trying to master today. The spirit of Wu Wei from Taoism, which is not forcing anything. So just get comfortable. You might be sitting in a chair or laying down. We're just going to take a couple of deep breaths. And first of all, we are going to breathe in through our nose, pause at the top, and we're going to exhale through our mouth like we're cooling hot tea. So it'll just look like this. Pause and exhale. And a couple more times, breathe in. Exhale. And breathe in again. Exhale long and slow. And breathe in again. Pause, exhale long and slow. And just relax now and breathe at whatever rate feels comfortable and natural. And I want you to imagine now with me that we are standing beside a creek, a robust creek, maybe in your mind it's a river, that is in the middle of a forest covered by a beautiful canopy of green trees. And there's just a nice flow to the stream / river. Just allow the picture to surface as it does in your mind. And it's not like a crazy strong force. It's just like there's a current that's just moving things along. And the water's clear. We can see the rocks at the bottom. There's fish going through the stream. There's just a beautiful natural flow. And that sound of running water is just going through this beautiful stream or river in this canopied forest. And we're right at the edge of this river. And now I want you to imagine that you're going to bend down and pick up like a big leaf, like there's a big leaf right next to you, a dry leaf that's fallen to the forest floor. Just pick it up and hold it in your hand. It's a very, very big leaf. Just hold it in your hand now. And you might put one hand on your heart, over your heart chakra area. And just ask yourself, is there any situation in my life, maybe any person or any outcome that I'm trying to kind of force or really control how something should go, the situation should go or should unfold? And we're just going to take a minute or two to do that. I'm going to do the same. So just kind of ask yourself, what situation, person, place, or thing or outcome am I trying to force? Just really kind of normally the first thing that comes to our mind is normally the best. And it might be two things that come up, and that's okay as well. Okay. Well, two came up for me. So I want you to imagine that you're going to, and you might even take your hand, like pull these out of your heart center area, like one and two, pull. And you're going to see yourself holding these issues in the palm of your hand and setting them down on the leaf. And it's a big enough leaf, so it can sort of just hold these issues. So just imagine the leaf is kind of holding these two situations. And if it's hard to imagine this, just pretend that you're imagining it. I heard that once and that really helped me. And now we're simply going to take this leaf holding our situation or issue or outcome, whatever it is, and we're going to bend down and just set it in the stream or river and let the Tao, the flow of the Tao, carry this down the river and find the natural solution. So imagine just bending down and setting this leaf down in the stream or river and see the gentle current just carry it off on this leaf going downstream. And we're going to just surrender this to the flow of the Tao, to the universe, and may the solution present itself at the right time as it will and be in perfect harmony in accordance with the universe that will benefit us and everybody. It will be the most harmonious. And it doesn't mean that necessarily we don't do anything more, because if we are to do something, we will get the nudge. Our heart will speak to us. Our higher self will guide us to take rightly timed action. We can now know that this is now in the hands of the Tao, the hands of the universe. And you might say the following: I embrace Wu Wei, the doctrine of not forcing. I am at one with the Tao and all that is. I flow with the Tao and allow the love from my heart to flow into the universe and in accordance with all that is. And let's just take a couple final breaths to wrap up. And when you're ready, just gently open your eyes. Well, that felt really soothing for me to do. I hope that that helped you guys as well. And just before we say goodbye, I wanted to leave us with a final quote or two. Music opens our minds to allow the perception of new thoughts of a higher nature, which gives us a spiritual lift, which produces yet more joy. Wu Wei, I Ching Wisdom, more guidance from the Book of Answers. And then finally, the path that one person follows is not the correct path for any other person. Each of us must walk his own path to enlightenment. That is the way. Also from Wu Wei, I Ching Wisdom, More Guidance from the Book of Answers, Volume 2. Thank you guys so much for being with me here today. Please leave me any feedback or comments. Let me know what the music evoked for you, how Wu Wei comes up in your life, just anything that is on your heart to share. I would love to hear from you. Thank you for listening, reflecting, and being present with us today. Please leave us a review and comment, as we love feedback and aim to continuously improve and innovate, embodying the spirit of jazz itself. Jazz Therapy is edited and produced by Patricio Garcia. Sage Salmon is our social media coordinator. To connect with us, find us on Instagram and TikTok. Our email is info@jazztherapy.com. Check back next week for our next episode. May Jazz Therapy soothe your soul.